And now, live from New York City via Los Angeles, California, it's time for The View from Over Here with the man who has a view for all seasons, your host, Stan Weisleder.
Hey there, everybody.
Wait,
out
let's
there.
Get a few chords.
What chords?
I want to hear the music.
George Gershwin, he could do his thing later. Don't worry about George.
Okay, continue.
Okay, besides he's dead, so what's the difference?
When?
We're here.
When? When is he dead?
When did
a
he
long
die?
Long time.
1930s.
Probably a long time ago. Maybe around the time you were born. In the late 30s, I think.
Yeah, I wasn't so born in the late 30s.
It was before they made the movie about him.
Okay. Starring?
Alan.
No, his father.
Robert Alda. Right, okay.
You remember
See,
that?
I told you.
Oh, I never saw that, no.
You never saw the
movie?
That's
a good movie. I saw the Cole Porter one with Cary Grant.
Cary Grant.
That was different.
Okay.
And that one really wasn't even realistic because it didn't get into his lifestyle.
The original one. That he was gay.
Okay, we are here. The View from Over Here we're on today. This is our broadcast or iPod, depending on what you want to call it.
Podcast.
Podcast, broadcast. What's the difference? The thing is, with this kind of podcast, you can tune into it whenever you want, wherever you are, even if you're on the can taking care of business. And we have in the studio today Malcolm, of course, Malcolm Berman, our producer and my trustworthy wingman.
And where we heard, before we introduce our special guest, I don't want to step on your toes. Where can we be heard?
You just stepped on my toes.
Where can we be heard?
We can be heard on malcolmdigitalradio.com.
Very good.
Over the entire world. Where are we broadcasting from? The Mark Rouse Studio in downtown glamorous Burbank.
Now introduce our guest, please.
God, were you giving me instructions, every little thing?
I produce the show.
You sound like my mother.
This is like who's on first.
Okay.
I produce the show.
Yes, you do.
Go for it.
All right. Our special guest right now in this segment of the show is somebody who's been with us before, lovely lady by the name of Barbara Sternig. And for those people who do not know who Barbara Sternig is, well, she's an author. She's written a couple of books. One of them is a...
Secrets.
Well, okay, we'll talk about that first. Barbara, in her early career, okay, and I know her back when. Now
yes.
She's a midi, like a goody Miss Two Shoes, and she's writing about how she grew up in suburban Illinois and things like that. But way back in the past, she was the star or one of the star reporters for the National Enquirer.
She was
okay?
a wicked lady.
She was jet-setting all over the world, mixing and hobnobbing with all of these people, getting the stories firsthand, even though the paper got sued afterwards gazillion times. If you listen to Barbara, all of the stories were 100% true. Anyway, Barbara, how the hell are you since you've been here the last time?
It's been quite a long time. I'm doing great. I've been busy, busy, busy. I've been traveling. I've been writing some more books and having a good time.
What do you want to talk about today?
Well, you know what you said about the Enquirer. I'm not here to defend the National Enquirer. I don't work there anymore, but... The two questions.
How long did you work there?
20 years. 20 years.
Would you like to go back?
No.
Why not?
Well, it's a very difficult job. It's an exciting job. It is a challenging job. It has a lot of wonderful benefits. World travel, as you say, hobnobbing. You're in the middle of the news that's breaking right then and there. But there's so much resistance to the reporter trying to do their job, as any reporter does. Maybe not so much today, but we didn't have poop sheets that told us everything to say. We were on the ground getting the stories. And so today it's a different
kettle
of fish.
But Barbara, as a good-looking young lady, which you still are, as far as I could see,
thank you.
Don't people open up
more easily,
easily to you?
Absolutely.
As opposed to, let's say, Malcolm or I would try to interview
Tom
Cruise. Oh, get away, you guys. But you, they would, come on in.
Well, I would flirt with Tom.
You probably would.
No. He might take you up on
that. That's what I mean.
Didn't I used to tell you, be careful of what you wish for?
Uh-huh. Well, you know, in answer to your question, it's true. And when I joined the newspaper, which was a long time ago, a lifetime ago, 1975, I was the only female reporter. And our boss really—
You shouldn't have said how long ago. People have an idea how old you are.
Well, you know—
Because you don't look like your age, but
But you're right out of high school.
I went there pretty young.
Yes, right out of high school with no college degree.
Let's say I was newly minted. I was newly minted.
That's better.
That's what I was.
Yeah.
But, you know, it really did work in my favor to be a female at that time. There's just something that is more accessible. You know, when you're a female, you can have a little bit softer approach and people will respond
and
to
they'll
that
trust you more
readily. They do trust you. I was just reviewing some of the stories. I wrote this book to answer the two most asked questions of any Inquirer reporter. The first one you addressed just a little minute ago, which is any of that stuff true? And everybody
Yeah, how much did you make up?
how is any of that stuff true? Well, of course, you know, let's face it, the paper wouldn't be in business if it wasn't true. They had a style which was very thunderous. It tends to kind of muddy the waters. Is it true if it's that thunderous? And all of our stories were rewritten by a rewrite desk that put them in Inquirer style.
Do they still have the those type of stories anymore? Because it seems like the competition out there is totally changed, like with the TMZ and all the new shows.
Yeah,
there's a lot of competition. When you go to the checkout line now, it's you got a half a dozen papers to pick from.
I think the Inquirer still has a little harder edge to it. There's a lot of fluff stuff out there. I call it fluff stuff. You know, they have all the fashion and they have all the suck-up articles, you know, trying to kind of woo them.
Do any of them come from overseas, like Great Britain or Australia or someplace like
sure.
that?
Sure. Yeah. The Inquirer had a huge staff of British reporters that, at least in the old days. Today, I don't even know because I don't work there
anymore.
Well,
I'm not talking necessarily about the print media, but because of its competition with the television media and the cable shows, it seems like every story that you can possibly write about has been told already.
Yeah, there were no cable shows when you started out.
There wasn't even E.T. Yeah.
One last question about that business.
Yeah.
If you wanted to do that again and you went back to that paper, would they know you? Would they hire you? Or would they be looking for a 20-year-old?
Well, that's a good question. It's kind of a wash. I'm not sure. I know that when I left the paper, they were getting rid of all the very senior people who were very highly paid.
Sure.
And
they
hired three people
for the salaries
we were making. And they kind of expected these little graduates to be able to do all the stuff that we had done.
Well, as we had talked about, I'd love for you to do internet radio show, like with a little bit of gossip, a little bit of travel,
your
experiences.
And then,
you know, as the show goes on, we could hire a nice staff.
That would do
the footwork for you.
I could be the editor.
Barbara,
you travel a lot.
I travel a lot. Yes.
How much of your time, let's say, average during the year, is travel as opposed to being in L.A.?
I would say probably 3 to 4 months a year I'm out of town.
Wow, that is that's a lot.
I'm just leaving again soon.
I just came back
not too long ago. I'm going out to Spain. To Barcelona for several days. Then I'm going to join a ship and do a little bit of med cruising and then back across the Atlantic, back to Florida.
Yeah, life's a bitch, isn't it?
I know.
But someone has to do it.
I know. Well, you got to get all this stuff in. There's so much. I'm still incredibly curious. That was always a hallmark, which is a great asset.
Have you ever gone to these really weird way out places?
Oh, my God, yeah. I spent 5 weeks in Burma a couple of years ago. Burma, yes.
Okay.
I was
in
based.
The jungles?
Well, we went up to Bagan, which is where the land of the million pagodas. But we traveled all over Burma. But I was based in Rangoon, which is now called Yangon. And I have people in Burma. I have people. That's why I had a real inside view to
everything. Have you gone to Lhasa? I think that.
No, I haven't been to. I haven't
Machu
been to
Machu Picchu.
No, I haven't been to Machu Picchu. Those are on my list.
Did you have a bucket list?
I don't really
not
have
a bucket list.
My bucket list is so small.
It's a sand pail.
Yes, it's a little bucket and spade list. Yeah.
Well, you know what? People that have these bucket lists, most of them never get to finish everything.
Oh, that's so true.
Okay? So everything is contingent upon Well, you look in good health, and if you're in good health,
yes,
chances are you'll,
absolutely,
you'll finish your bucket list,
well,
and then
say,
you'll add to it, make it, another bucket.
Well, then you know what you do? You start going back to the places you like the best and really stay there as a destination rather than just a kind of a taste.
Or get another bucket.
Or get a new bucket and just
fill it
with, go to the second layer.
The world is full of buckets.
Yeah. How about Antarctica?
I have no desire. Everybody else, I've been on all the other continents. I don't like the cold. I don't even like Alaska.
Go there in the summer.
And they say the cruises there are great, you know.
My sister and her husband.
You say you don't want to go there because it's too cold. There was an old stupid joke years ago. They're sending these astronauts to the sun.
Yeah.
And the answer is, wow, won't it be so hot there? No, they go at night.
Yeah, right. We're not not in winter.
Same idea.
Not in winter, right.
I won't go there in the winter. Right. That's right. I'll go when the ice is melted.
So where are you going now?
Right now, well, I'm going to be going off to Spain.
It's a Spain.
Barcelona.
Barcelona, exactly. Catalonia.
Do they really speak like that?
In certain places they do. In Castile, that's how they speak.
You know, the story that they told about it in school, is it true?
It's true. The king had a lisp. Absolutely.
Really? I would have said to the king, screw you. I'm not changing.
Yeah. Of course, you wouldn't be around now.
Chop.
But everybody was trying to ingratiate with the king. And
obviously,
so that's why they did
I must have been born Spanish because in elementary school I had a lisp.
Oh, you do. You are. You're partly Spanish then.
Probably.
Do you speak it in any other way or is your lisp only reduced down to English?
My lisp is only English.
How about Anna?
Anna doesn't lisp.
So she speaks without that phony.
She's not from Spain. She's from El Salvador.
But didn't they have to copy the same?
No. As a matter of fact, she can tell what country you're from by the way you speak.
By the way you speak
Spanish.
Well, you know, it's like we can in America. We can tell if somebody's from the South, if somebody's from Wisconsin, if somebody's from Minnesota.
I open my mouth. I say, what part of Brooklyn are you from?
Yeah, exactly. Precisely.
If they're from Brooklyn, I can tell you what neighborhood. I'm only kidding.
But pretty close.
But they call him Professor Iggins and Henry Iggins.
And I'm hail from Chicago. I was born and raised in Chicago. And, boy, the Chicago accent is pretty identifiable,
Well, you know what? A lot of people that I've known from Chicago, when you say out, they say out.
Out.
Oh, out. Out.
Are you sure? I know they say the bleak teafeter with the applique in the back. That's the way
I know when I first came here, people would say, you know, there's something on the, I say roof. They say rough.
Roof.
Roof.
Roof. I think we say roof in Chicago.
That's what my dog
say
roof. Says. Roof. Roof.
Yeah. Well, that's that old joke. You know, the old joke, the guy comes into the bar with his dog, and he said, my dog can talk, and the bartender says, you're crazy. He said, I bet you $10. And he asked the dog, okay, what's on top? He says, roof. And then he said, who's the best baseball player? He says, roof. So finally they kick him out, and the guy's laying on the street, and the dog looks up, and he says, the Madge boss? Anyway, sorry to interrupt you with a dumb joke.
That's cute.
Yes,
I know,
it was a
dumb joke.
Now, your last trip.
My last trip was, let's see, where was I? Oh, I was in Arkansas, believe it or not.
Arkansas?
I went over to visit friends. You know, they told me not to tell everybody. It's a gorgeous state, it is.
I'm sure it is.
It's not as good as California, nothing is, you know, but it has a lot of charm. It's very hot and humid in the summer, and that part I just didn't care for.
I just thought of why you were in Arkansas.
Because
you were probably digging the dirt up on the Clintons.
No. That's been done.
Oh, my God. That is,
you know,
well done.
I have to say this. You know, JFK was supposedly a bad boy, okay?
Yes.
And the more you find out lately when things come up, wow, holy mackerel, he did all that stuff. Yet what all of the latest revelations about Bill Clinton.
Oh, my God.
He makes JFK look like a Boy Scout.
What latest did you know? Well, everything has been exposed. Is it something that we haven't heard?
Well, somebody can tell your life story. Once in a while.
Yes, Mr. Trump.
Somebody wants
Mr. Trump.
Publish, you know, I was with so-and-so for umpteen years while he was married to so-and-so. And they, you know, they want to get that book published, get their annuity that way.
Yes, Mr.
Small
Trump,
pension.
I understand what you're saying.
You know what I didn't like about that whole business, and I still hate it, is how everybody says that Hillary Clinton is the woman's candidate, and she's this great woman and for women. But she trashed all of the paramours of her husband and enabled him. And I just find that to be offensive.
But shouldn't she get the Christian vote? You stick by your man, you thick or thin, you don't divorce him, you stand by him.
If you can redeem him, that's one thing, but she didn't.
How do you know? You know,
is he redeemed?
I don't know.
Bill Clinton redeemed? You got to be kidding.
Do you have any stories about him? You're the reporter.
No, I don't. I never did politics. Oh. I only did Hollywood.
Can we put you on assignment?
Hollywood.
Malcolm.
And invite you back in another month?
No.
You
mentioned
stories.
Or becomes the first man?
I don't want that assignment.
As you know, I write novels, okay?
Yes.
And I have one that I've – it's not even in outline form. It's an idea. It's a number of projects I have on the back burner. And I'll tell you, one of them has to do with what you have done in your life. Not necessarily you, but it's about the lady who has all the secrets.
Mm-hmm.
The keeper of the secrets.
Keeper of the secrets. And that was a big part of that kind
keeper
of a job.
Keeper of the secrets. In other words, you or somebody like you did so much investigation and you have so much stuff on so mm-hmm. many people. The FBI wants your file because mm-hmm. of what they could do with it. And that could lead to all kinds of things.
Intrigue.
Intrigue.
I know you're a writer and you're a writer. Can we get you to reveal your story and I'll sell it? We do a TV series?
A TV series?
That's
not a bad idea.
A few people have suggested doing that with the Secrets of a Tabloid
Can
Reporter.
I'm serious about it because
this is too straight and above board. You have to
get into the underbelly.
Thank you. And you also have to make up things. If you try to tell something that is 100% true, it doesn't sell that well. You have to add it and spice it up. It's based on, but okay, it's all true except for the parts that I made up.
Well, yours is fiction based on fact.
Thank you. I like to write what I call faction.
Faction. That's it. Mine is more true nonfiction.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. That's what it is. And
the book is, but not our TV series. Because it's going to be intrigue and it's going to be people are trying to kill you.
Oh.
And you have to go
I've had death threats.
And you have to go undercover.
I had death threats
I'm trying to think who could play her.
We'll worry about that later.
Dreyfus.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
A little too old.
No, it would have to be somebody. It would have to be someone younger.
I can't think of
a young Julia Roberts.
Who you can make look older. You can't take an older person, make them look younger. But you can take a younger person and make them look older by adding on makeup and stuff.
Why do they have to be older? That's what I want.
Right.
Because you don't want to finish it all at one point.
True. You can be in your rocking chair to start, just like the Dustin Hoffman movie or something like that. And then he goes back to the
flashback.
I don't
know if I could picture you in a rocking chair. Not yet, anyway.
Right. Oh, my God. I can't sit still that long.
Well, you'd rock.
Rock around
rock
the clock.
Out.
Oh, yeah.
I rock.
Well, there was
rock.
One time I could picture me in a rocking chair with a drink of scotch in one hand, a joint in the other hand, rocking, overlooking the Pacific Ocean. That wouldn't be bad.
Oh,
in fact,
God.
This morning when I was driving over to your place, it just happened. They were playing, I think, forget the station. We Will Rock You.
Yeah, that's okay? Queen.
We Will Rock You. Yeah.
Queen.
Oh, Freddie
Queen.
Mercury.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
In fact, you know where that, there was a movie. Takes place like with the knights and they're jousting, and the guy Heath Ledger played the head knight, and he wasn't a real knight. He looked like a knight.
He was a day.
He was trained.
This is my sense of
but
humor.
He was not a real knight. He didn't have all the
appurtenances,
the background, and all of the the names with the.
He didn't have the proper credentials.
And that, yes. And at the very beginning of that movie, as they're coming into the little hamlet, the background music is from Queen. We Will Rock You. It was a nice beginning.
But it's not nice that we're talking.
Okay. Barbara, you will talk about whatever you like.
Well, you know what?
You bring up the subject.
People have been asking me over and over again. I wrote another book after the Inquirer book called On Chestnut Street.
That's where you grew
that's
up.
That's it.
Yeah,
this
right.
is where I grew up. And this really is actually a childhood memoir based upon a suite of a couple of hundred pictures, which I rescued out of my father's beautiful photo albums. He was a very talented amateur photographer all of his life, and he chronicled the world around him, not only our family, but could be any family, the world around him. So that's what the pictures in this book are about, and I consider my words to be the frame around his photographs.
Well said. I read the book, and it's very good. You get to sort of that warm family feeling.
Yes, yes.
Almost like the Waltons.
Yeah, it was really that way. I mean, I know
was
it's...
was that other one, Little House on
Little
the Prairie?
Little House on the Prairie,
yeah.
No, it was a good... You get a good feeling. You're a very talented writer.
Little House on Chestnut Street.
Oh, yeah, Little House on Chestnut Street.
And I remember Mama.
People have asked me how to write a memoir, and I... this one is on – it has its own website, actually, which is www.onchestnutstreet.com, where you can go and have a read of a chapter and everything, and it is for sale there. But in any case, I always tell people, don't start with, I was born on so-and-so 1982 or whatever it is. You got to dip right into something about your life in the first line and grab the people into your life that way. It'll all come out when you were born and where and the particulars, but you have to get into a
now, if you were an infamous person and you're on trial for murder, let's say. You killed your boyfriend or whatever. You could start with that.
You would start with
okay?
that. Okay? Yeah.
And then
start with the blood
go back.
And fill in the blanks as you go.
Well, one of my favorite opening lines is about a writer, Chaim Potok.
I don't think I'm familiar with
him. He writes very religious things. Actually, he's a rabbi, and he writes about the Hasidic community.
Uh-huh,
uh-huh. But he doesn't write about religion.
He writes about the people
that are involved with it. Some of them are trying to break away.
Right.
About two or three of his books were
made into movies. Who was the one that Robbie Benson?
Robbie Benson played one.
But it's called In the Beginning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he said, in the beginning, the first line is, in the beginning, all things are hard.
Really?
Well, are you? I have a dirty mind. You have a dirty mind.
I didn't notice any dirty thoughts in here.
No dirty thoughts in that one.
We got about another 10 minutes.
A few dirty thoughts in this one, that's true. So I'm doing a sequel to this because when I wrote this, I actually wrote like 24 chapters. We only did 11 or 12 in here.
When is the sequel coming out?
I'm hoping it will be out and about by early spring. I'm just really kind of pulling it together right now.
Are you working with a publisher or are you doing it self?
I'm going to do this self-published.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you name names?
Oh, my God, of course. This has some really great names. And it's, Sylvester Stallone, Whoopi Goldberg.
They have current people.
Oh, good.
Chapter 13, it's about Malcolm Berman.
Yes, indeed. So that's going to be a lot. I'm having so much fun. In fact, I was just touching up one of the chapters are all written. I'm just kind of pulling it together for today.
Well, this is all from your notes, I assume.
No, I actually wrote all those chapters when I wrote this book.
So I'm just
updating them and threading them together.
You had intended to do a sequel.
It's going to be – I don't have – a working title is If Mom Ever Knew. More from the Hollywood Beat.
Right.
That's cute.
More from the Inquirer's Hollywood Beat.
If Mom Ever Knew.
Please don't tell Mom.
What would she do if she
knew? My God. You know what? My mother read the manuscript before she died.
This book came out for this.
And you know what? She started crying.
I bet she liked it.
She loved it. But she started crying. She said, "Oh, Barbie, I never knew you had to go through all that."
and you said with a smile, right?
Like it was a hard life.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
She didn't like the fact that you did meet with a lot of kind of acrimony from people and phones hanging up on you and people pushing you away.
Yeah, I would see she would like it or like the effort that you made. This is not something that any person would do or even think of.
No.
How many people – it's like an astronaut. How many people have become astronauts?
How many people even want to?
Yeah.
More than became,
well,
okay?
Yeah, more than became.
So how many people actually get to the point where they could write a book like this?
Well, you have to have the perseverance, first of all.
You do.
Because people, as you say, people hanging up on you.
Especially after 20 years. Yeah.
And you also have to have a certain personality that people like you.
Yes. Even,
finally, when you get through that they like you and
they trust you.
They trust you.
Yes, exactly.
They don't feel like you're out to hang them.
Were your interviews, were they the result primarily of your insisting or making the cold calls, or somebody, a producer who likes you and say, hey, come on along to this party?
Both.
Okay.
And also, I had a very, very effective telephone book, a contact book, when I went to work for the National Enquirer. Before that, I had been Rona Barrett's writer and leg woman. And so I knew a lot of people.
Okay, so you got a lot of the ground.
Groundwork was done. Yes.
Yeah, well, you have much nicer legs than Rona Barrett, I have to say.
Is she still around?
I don't think so. She's not around in that sense, but I think she's still alive.
She's still alive?
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, yeah.
I know she's not
writing.
Anyway, guys, now we're
okay, Malcolm, our producer, Malcolm,
says. Oh, my gosh, the
25 minutes is up.
No,
okay.
No.
But I'll tell you what.
Tell me.
We definitely have to have you back because there's so many stories that you could tell us.
Oh, I'd love to come back.
When you come back from your next trip.
Okay, that'll be fun.
Okay, probably beginning of the year.
Okay.
Yeah, because we're going to tape now through October, maybe for Christmas time.
That would be fun.
Yeah, you let us know when you're back in town.
Okay,
I will wear red.
Okay, where can people reach you if they want? Do you have a website?
I do have a website. It's www.onchestnutstreet.com. Or I'm available for email at champagnebabs2@AOL. Easy.
Or you can reach her here at Malcolm. DigitalRadio.com.
Anyway, the message.
That's it, guys. Aaron, it's a wrap.
Did he fall asleep again? What's he
I'm
doing?
I'm still
again?
Here.
Oh, he didn't fall asleep. Okay. For all you people out there, we are signing off now. Barbara, it's been great. We'll
it's
see you
pleasure.
Again. And
it's a wrap.
Adios.
Adios.